this silhouette of a man holding his arms out higher. Do you want this higher? Way higher? Is that all right? Okay. But this silhouette of a man inviting people, and it says, you can know you are going to heaven. And that's the truth that every single person needs to know today, that you can know for sure that you're going to heaven. Amen. And I got this from the church too. So there's blue, white, and red. This is the Christian flag if you're not familiar. The blue means Jesus' faithfulness to us and baptism. The red, obviously, is the cross and Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for us. And the white is purity. And so they have these a lot in American churches all over. And it's just so cool to see the Christian flag. It was instituted in 1942, I think, by the Federal Council of Churches. That was so neat. And let's see, read this here. Approved workmen are not ashamed. That's what AWANA stands for. Ugh, I did not get to participate in AWANA. That's upside down, isn't it? There you are. AWANA Club. So it's sort of for the kids. And I didn't get to be a part of this, but I was involved in children's ministry a lot. And so I just thought that was so cool to bring and talk to you about today. But children's ministry, it's so cool because the way you communicate to a kid is totally different from the way you might communicate to an adult. You're loud, you're big, you're animated, and you're saying, hey, you know, Daniel went in the lion's den, and, you know, you're just excited. And speaking of kids, I have a book here, My Bible Friends, book number 9. Here's Daniel praying. And every time I think of the story of Daniel, I think of this book. This is actually was my mother's, her signature's right there. But this was so cool, just thinking about no evil thing to say of you. And the illustrations, even the down to the facial expressions, they're just so cool. You could pass this around. But I don't know, it just made the story of Daniel come alive. And just every time I think of Daniel, I think of that book that belongs to my mother. I wish I could tell you all that the Lord did in Vegas. We had a summer camp, and many people surrendered to preach and to serve the Lord. There was a young guy, 13 years old. His name is Sam Miano, and he surrendered to be a pastor. There was another man, Jake Page, sort of a young guy, like about 18, but he wants to be a youth pastor. And both of these guys walked up to me and said, hey, Kevin, I'm making this decision today. And it's just so cool to be a part of that. Daniel chapter 6. Let's go Daniel chapter 5. How's that? I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. You liking that book, Brother Ramon? Is it good? It's so cool, isn't it? Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem. His wives and his concubines might drink therein for the express purpose of them drinking through from these stolen vessels that belonged to God. He shouldn't have done this. This was a great sin. This was great wickedness against God. These vessels belonged to the Lord. And so they had this great party. They invited so many guests to the party. Belshazzar was the king of the greatest kingdom at the time. He was dancing with a beautiful girl. They came in their jeweled chariots to the meeting, to this party. And he's just messing around and doing stuff he shouldn't, stealing stuff out of the temple of the house of God. Verse number 4, they drank wine, praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand. Would you imagine this? The fingers of a man's hand writing on a wall. And wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. How unnerving that must have been. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. If you've ever seen a cartoon, this happens to me when I'm standing behind the Pope, just, you know, his knees. He couldn't stand still. He was scared. He was terrified. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers, all the wise men, the wisest men in Babylon. We have a lot of wise men today who are wise in their own eyes. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing, the writing of the hand, and show me the interpretation thereof, shall be clothed with scarlet. Scarlet was like a royal color. It meant you were a big shot. And have a chain of gold about his neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. No one had seen a hand write on the wall before. And so everyone was scared. Even if they did have the answer, I don't think that was enough incentive for them. They were kind of just surprised that this happened at all. Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him. And his lords were astonished. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house. And the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. I want to stop here and say, people who say the Bible isn't exciting haven't read the Bible. This kind of weird 1611 English that we're not used to, but let God enlighten your eyes and see what's going on here. There is a man in thy kingdom, verse 11, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. In the days of the father, of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him. They believed in false gods, and so this is all she could really, this is the best she could express this idea. The wisdom of the gods was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father made the master of the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. Daniel was the head honcho above all these guys, for as much as an excellent spirit, and knowledge, and understanding, interpreting of dreams, and showing of hard sentences, and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. So that was his name in Babylon. His Hebrew name was Daniel. Everyone called him Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. He has the interpretation for this. And he has an excellent spirit, king. He has knowledge. He has understanding. He's a wise, wise man. An excellent spirit. Would to God that we would have an excellent spirit as well. That men would look at us and say, there's something different about that Christian. There's something different about you, Brother Ramon. There's something different about you, Pastor. Dad, there's something different about you. That people would look at our lives and say, that's a man with an excellent spirit, with a good heart for God, who wants to serve him and do what's right. And was Daniel brought before the king? No doubt, when he heard this from Belteshazzar, he decided, man, God, I don't really have the answer to this, but if you would show me, I'm going to speak. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, art thou that Daniel which art of the children of Israel? Art thou that Daniel which are of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? We took you out of Jerusalem, Daniel. I've heard of you. I have heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, that light and understanding and that excellent wisdom is found in thee. And he repeats everything this queen says. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me that they should read the writing, make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee that thou canst make interpretation and dissolve doubts. When a man spends his time in the presence of God, doubts are dissolved. Now if thou canst read the writing, the Bible continues, and make known to me the interpretation thereof. Thou shalt be clothed with scarlet, have a chain of gold about thy neck. Thou shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom. Daniel was already a big shot. Daniel was already in charge of many men and many people. But he was promised this third position in the kingdom. Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself. Give your rewards to somebody else.
I will read the writing unto the king.
Make known unto him the interpretation. And so he does this. Skip down to verse number 25. And this is the writing that was written. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. Meaningless to me. But the Bible has the answers to what those words mean. Verse 26. This is the interpretation of the thing. Meaning, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Heres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. It never pays to disobey God. There was no evil thing that could be said of Daniel. They couldn't find a single thing wrong with Daniel. And so when he had the interpretation, or when he gave the interpretation, they knew he was telling the truth. Christians and preachers and people today need to have a reputation as truth tellers, people that tell the truth. And Daniel was a man who told the truth. He didn't sugarcoat it. He said it the best he knew how, the best God allowed him to. Verse 29, then commanded Belshazzar, that's the guy who started partying it up there, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet. They put a chain of gold about his neck, made a proclamation throughout the land concerning him, that he should be third ruler in the kingdom. And that very night, Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, was slain. The ruler of the greatest kingdom in the world. And immediately, Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. About 62 years old, this king decides to take the throne after conquering. And he sits in the place of Belshazzar. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Belshazzar was a proud man. He thought he had it all. He thought he was a big deal. God humbled him real quick. Just want to be a humble guy. I want to be like Daniel. Chapter 6. This is a familiar passage. It's Daniel and the lion's den. Many people learn it when they're little kids in Sunday school. If you've grown up in church, you likely know this story. Even if you didn't grow up in this church, or if you didn't grow up in church, possibly you know Daniel in the lion's den, or Noah's Ark, or David and Goliath, and stories like this. You can bring to remembrance and understand the moral application. This isn't just anything similar to Aesop's fables. No, this is history. This is stuff that actually happened. Chapter 6. Verse number 1. It pleased Darius, the 62-year-old king, wise, obviously. What happened was, there was a river coming through. They came below the river, and they slaughtered everybody at that party. It pleased Darius. Whatever Darius wanted, he got. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. Proverbs 28, verse 1, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. We're about to talk about some lions right now. But I want you to think about Proverbs 28, verse 2, where the Bible says, for the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof. But by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. This was Daniel. There were many princes. There were many people who wanted to run the land the way they wanted to see things. For the transgression of a land, for a wicked people, for a wicked land, there's going to be a lot of people who want a slice of that pie. So there's 120 princes, and they're over the whole kingdom of Babylon, and over these three presidents, three men who presided over the kingdom, of whom Daniel was first. Why? Because he had an excellent spirit. That the princes might give accounts unto them, and that the king should have no damage, that is, the king should have no loss. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because, like I mentioned, like the word of God mentions, an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Can you imagine? This guy being so reliable, so reliable that Darius, who had just taken the throne, says, you know what, I think we'll have Daniel take care of everything so I can just sit back and relax in my comfortable little throne over here. I'm just going to sit back and let Daniel take care of things. I've hardly known him, but he seems like a good guy. May we have that sort of testimony. He knew right away the sort of person that Daniel was. And immediately you notice the jealousy that happens with these 120 presidents and princes. They sought to find occasion against Daniel, verse number 4, concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault. I love this verse. This blessed my heart. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. The Bible speaks in the New Testament of a blameless man. Someone who is blameless, where not one wicked thing could be said about that man. And about Daniel, we see not one error, not one fault could be found in Daniel. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Daniel's problem, his problem, was that he obeyed God too much. He loved God too much.
Right.
Wow. Who has the book? The picture book. Somewhere over here. Hi. Turn to the last page. Over here, there's a picture of a boy sleeping and a guardian angel over him. Psalm 34, verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear or love him and delivereth them. Then, very convicting question. The book ends there. Do you love him? And alive. We love him. They couldn't find a single thing wrong with Dan, except that he loved God too much. Oh, would to God that we love him. It'll keep us from many sins. It'll keep us from many things that we ought not to be doing. Verse 6. Daniel chapter 6, verse 6. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king, said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All of the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together. Watch them connive and plan to establish a royal statute to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. We have this lion's den, king, and I'm sure you know that these lions aren't fed very much. These are hungry lions. And we want people to reverence you, king. They were being sort of superficial in their comments. They were being sort of superficial in their praise of the king. They sort of buttered him up and made him feel real good about himself. And they said, for 30 days, no one's going to worship anybody but you. That's messed up. Verse 8, now, O king, establish the decree. Sign the writing that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. He took out his pen. He signed it. Took his right hand, his ring, sealed it. Now it couldn't be changed. They knew, as we're going to see later, that Daniel was a religious man or a faithful man. They knew that Daniel prayed a lot. Let's watch this. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Watch this now. as he did aforetime, as was regular in his life, as was routine in his life. Daniel prayed to the God of heaven. He knelt by his window toward Jerusalem, and he said, God, I love you. God, I want to succeed for you. I pray for myself so that I can help others. I pray for myself not so I can be important. Because I love you, God, and I love people. As he did aforetime. Then these men assembled. They came together and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or any man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Use your sanctified imagination here and put yourself in Daniel's sandals. Put yourself on the throne of the king of Babylon, Darius. And he sits there regretting his decision. Oh, it's true. According to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. I can't flip-flop on this. I can't go back. Then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, so fake. Nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set on his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. I imagine the king sitting over his workstation, working feverishly. Somebody bring a scroll. There's got to be some loophole in this law. I love Daniel. I would have never done that to Daniel if I knew the plan of these wicked princes, of these wicked presidents. If I knew what they were thinking, I would have never signed that document. In my hubris, in my arrogance, I thought you guys were trying to do something great for me, but you were trying to bring me down. He was sore displeased. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree or statute which the king establisheth may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. If you saw the book, you saw those two guards, one at Daniel's feet, one at Daniel's arms, and they swung him into the den, and they had a stone, and they rolled it right over. And you look at the king's face, he's like, I shouldn't have done that, but I did. And I put an innocent man to death, and I shouldn't have, but I did that. He must have been beating himself up. Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. The king spake and said unto Daniel right before he goes in, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. A stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet. That same ring sealed the rock. And with the signet of his lords, I hear the cackling and the laughter of these wicked men. They're saying, ha, we got him. He's not gonna get out of here now. It's over for Daniel. And we're going to have a chance to go up our corporate ladder, and we're going to be something in this kingdom. We're going to be a big deal. We're going to be big shots. Daniel's not here anymore. Daniel's not here to ruin our plans, and that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace, passed the night fasting. He didn't eat a single piece of bread. Neither were there instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Have you ever gotten up in the middle of the night and couldn't fall back asleep? The king arose very early in the morning. I imagine maybe 4, 5 a.m. Went in haste to the den of lions. He ran, he hurried. He said, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually? Is he able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king from the bottom of the, O king, live forever. Live forever. I'm good. I'm fine. The lions didn't bite me. I'm petting a lion right now. I'm right here. This alpha male's all right. He ain't mad at me. We're doing good. And he's just sitting there with the lions. He's chilling with the lions. There he is. And he says to the king, King, I'm all right. Nothing's happened to me. My God, listen to this, has sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths. Daniel here, he was a man surrounded by people or surrounded by animals just like himself. The righteous are bold as a lion. The wicked flee when no man pursueth. The wicked flee when no man pursueth. They create lies and irrational fears in their own head and distract and discourage themselves. They created an enemy that wasn't even there. Daniel was there to help them and serve them. The righteous can stand firm. They are bold as a lion. And isn't it funny that they put Daniel in a situation where he was comfortable? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. Then was the king exceeding glad for him. He was happy. And he commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den. No manner of hurt was found upon him. Because why? Because he believed in his God and the king commanded. And they brought those men, those wicked men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. Them, their children, and their wives. Watch this. The lions had the mastery of them. They had full control. And they break all their bones in pieces wherever they came at the bottom of the den. So they dropped these men and women into the den. And before they even hit the bottom, they were torn to shreds. That's the judgment of God. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in the earth, the whole purpose of human life is the glory of God. And Darius had no choice at the end of this trial but to recognize who was in charge here. He wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. Here is an official decree. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before who? The God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth and worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. I do wonder if the king saw the angel. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Darius may have been a viceroy right under Cyrus the Persian. So he prospered in the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Cyrus, and this Darius. So he lived through all of this, and he survived the lion's den. What an encouragement that is to us. And what an indictment it is to us Christians who aren't living as we should. Having no evil thing to say of you. No evil thing. I don't want anything be evil said of me, not so I can look good, but so he can look good.